Well, it's a beautiful night in the Falkland Islands, just off the coast of Argentina. The air is still this evening as sheep graze in the meadows and on the hillsides. The sun is setting and the sky appears as a lavender canvas, gently caressing stars sparkling like diamonds. The steady sound of the Atlantic Ocean can be heard in the distance. Although this paints a serene picture, there is danger lurking. A killer is on the prowl, and he's very hungry. His prey tonight are the unsuspecting grazing sheep. This predator is an expert in stealth and is rarely seen. Carefully, he positions himself with his face in the wind so as not to reveal his presence. He then waits patiently for the right moment. As sheep graze, they normally generally gravitate in one direction. The predator's strategy is simple. He will attack the young or the weak that are on the outer edge of the flock. Suddenly, he will lunge from the darkness and bite a young sheep on the backbone, then vanish back into the night. You might add, that might seem strange. But as the sheep continue to move on, this wounded one can no longer keep up. Soon the lamb will be alone and vulnerable. From its hiding place, the killer will move in, sensing the time for the slaughter is right. At first light, the sheep rancher or farmer realizes the magnitude of the carnage. He may find as many as 10 to 15 sheep slaughtered, but only one will have been eaten. The rest were simply victims of the predator's thirst for blood. Who is this ravenous, merciless beast? Well, his name in Latin is Canis Lupus Lanaeus, better known as the wolf. This was taken from an article entitled Beware the Wolf by Larry Lassiter. I don't know if any of you ever read Aesop's Fables, but in one of his fables, it talks about a wolf that put on a sheepskin so that he could fool the shepherd into believing that he was a lamb. Well, it worked. Because that evening, when the shepherd returned to gather meat for the next day, the wolf was mistakenly killed because the shepherd thought he was a wolf. You know, he must have had a pretty good disguise, because obviously he fooled the shepherd, well, which, according to the fable, led to his demise. He must have been a master of disguise. The point is, he was able to blend in and appear to be something that he wasn't. He was able to fool not only the sheep of the flock, but the shepherd as well. What does wolf in sheep's clothing mean? Well, the idiom wolf in sheep's clothing simply means someone or something who is pretending to be something they're not. It originated not from Aesop's fable, but as we'll see, it originated from a very familiar scripture. To see its actual origin, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. As we enter into the seventh chapter of Matthew, we're stepping smack dab into the middle of one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sermons of all time. It's one that was given by Jesus Christ himself and is commonly known, of course, as the Sermon on the Mount. In the preceding chapters leading up to this one, Jesus has already covered, you know, various subjects such as the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, the issue of forgiveness. And as Jesus continued to speak, he directly confronted and warned the people about a group of individuals that were prominent in his day. And yes, they're also prominent in ours. So if they're prominent in the time of Jesus and he felt it needed to be spoken about, you can bet they're prominent in here in ours. In Matthew 7, verse 15, we're encouraged to beware of false prophets. You know, this, of course, according to Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, refers to teachers who come among us as pretentious, falsely authorized speakers for God. So we're encouraged here to beware of false prophets which come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They may appear as kind and gentle, plausible on the exterior in order to persuade us, but inwardly are full of hate, evil, and deceit. From afar they seem as sheep, but once we see them up close, once we see them and realize who they really are, we know that they are nothing more than wolves, wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, the wolf doesn't announce itself to the sheep. He doesn't say, "Here I come, sheep. You know, you better get ready." And likewise, if a sheep is here in our congregation or in the church of God, the body of Christ, we know that there's sheep, there's woven sheep's clothing in the world. They're not going to announce it to us. They're not going to walk in the door, say, "Here I am, a wolf in sheep's clothing." We've got to be able to figure that out for ourselves. They may seem as one with the flock, but they'll come in deception and disguise. When we really get to know them, we're able to see them for their ulterior motives. And brethren, they're bent on devouring you. They're bent on devouring us, the very flock of Jesus Christ, for their own benefit. You know, out of all the animals in the animal kingdom, God inspired his church to be likened to sheep. This is probably two of the most diametrically opposed creatures that you could choose. And like real sheep, the flock of God has formidable enemies as well. These enemies of the church are called different things, but when likened to the animal kingdom, they're referred to as ravenous wolves. Remember, a wolf in sheep's clothing denotes a person who appears harmless. They may be sincere in what they're doing or saying, but his or her attitude only hides their devious and malicious intent. Please heed this warning. A wolf in sheep's clothing takes no thought in regards to age, race, or gender. It doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what your gender is. A wolf doesn't care who you are, and he will kill as many of us as he can, just as we read about in the beginning. He'll slaughter as many of us as he possibly can. False prophets are those who, for various reasons, are driven to deceive God's people. Hasn't he been trying to do that? Has the Satan been trying to deceive the God's people ever since the Garden of Eden? Let's look briefly at a few scriptures before we look at how we might identify. How can we see and observe and identify how a wolf in sheep's clothing really looks? Please turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, I don't know if most of you read Mr. Wint's Something to Ponder last night, but he used a few of my scriptures, but I'm going to use them as well. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. 2 Peter 2, verse 1, "But also in those days there arose false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." Verse 2, "And many will follow their pernicious or fatal or destructive ways and lascivious doings. Because of them, the true way will be maligned and defamed. Verse 3, and then their covetousness, lust, or greed, they will exploit you with false arguments. From of old, the sentence for them has not been idle. Destruction has not been asleep. These words, brethren, should give us fair warning. Satan is out, and all of his agents are out to destroy us, to devour us. You know, this is not an isolated event. We have to be on the lookout. We have to be alert. They will be masqueraders. They may be hard to spot, especially if we don't know our Bible, if we don't know the Word of God. We have to accept the fact that they are here. We can't deny that. Brethren, they will trick you with fancy words and language and will deceive you and me if we aren't careful. How many will this be? Well, in verse 2, it said, many will fall victim to these false teachers and prophets. How many? As many as they can kill, as many as they can snare, as they did these sheep in our story in the beginning, they'll get as many as they can. We have to be aware of false teachers who speak and teach contrary to the Word of God. If not, we are merely sheep for the slaughter. That's not a pretty picture. Please don't let yourself be one of them. Let's go now to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, and we'll read verse 1. First John 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. You know, we have to be like the Bereans. We have to study to prove and verify what you are being told, what you are being taught, what you are hearing. Don't just take everything you hear for granted. Prove whether it is the truth, brethren. Next, please turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, we'll read verses 7 through 12. Here Paul begins to exalt or encourage the people to stand fast in their liberty. You know, the liberty that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ grants them and grants you and I, grants each and every one of us. And he cautions them to not get too entangled in the ways of the world. And brethren, that's good advice for us. Don't allow yourself to be too entangled with the ways of the world. Now in verse 7 of Galatians 5, Paul questions them on, you know, who has confused them? Who have you been listening to? Verse 7, you did run well. You know, Paul is saying, you've been doing so well. You're running the race well. What happened that you are now so confused? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And that's what can happen. If we allow someone to hinder us, we'll eventually not obey the truth. Of course, this is a rhetorical question because, you see, Paul already knows the answer because he's been talking about false teachers and false prophets for the last four chapters. Paul is perplexed that the Galatians have lost their focus. And brethren, please, we cannot lose our focus. We have to keep eye on the goal. We have to keep firmly fixed upon God and Jesus Christ and his laws. The Living Bible reads verse 7 this way, you were coming along splendidly. Who got in your way so that you don't follow the truth? Paul is wondering, what is going on? Who has got in your head and confused you? So it can happen. Don't allow anyone, brethren, to get in our heads to confuse us. because it can happen. Verse 8, this persuasion comes not from the one that called you. So Paul here says very strongly that it wasn't God who has caused the confusion. Who was it? Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He uses the analogy of leaven to show, look, it only takes one person to eventually affect everyone in the group. Brethren, it only takes one person, one false teacher, one wolf in sheep's clothing to eventually affect each and every one of us. And it can move swiftly. The source of false teaching that misleads people, leads them away from Jesus. Of course, the source is the enemy, Satan. Once the enemy or his foot soldier, if you will, gets a foothold through a false teaching or doctrine, it will spread like disease through the whole church. Brethren, it only takes one wolf, as I mentioned, in sheep's clothing to eventually destroy our congregation, the whole flock of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I have confidence in through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you, in other words, that person who has confused you, the person who has put these wrong thoughts in your head that's causing you to question the very truth, shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. My friends, I hope none of us fall into that category. But realistically, brethren, there are false prophets. There are false teachers. There are those who speak the truth, and there are those who tell lies. They conceal who they really are. They conceal their hostilities and will try to pass themselves off as fellow believers. They may seem as one of us, and that's what a wolf in sheep's clothing does. He tries to pass himself off as one of the sheep. He tries to blend in. We must not be naive to their evil ways. Well, what are some physical or maybe scary character traits of the wolf that we should be able to parallel spiritually? What are some dangerous ways of the wolf that we should hopefully be able to guard against as Christians? Well, here's just a small list very quickly. A wolf is sly, they're menacing, powerful, deceptive, that's a big word, deceptive, unmerciful, determined, relentless, ravenous. They have terrific endurance, and yes, on top of all that, they're clever. So it's no wonder that the wolf is used to describe one that is bent on devouring physical and spiritual lambs. There was an organization years ago back in Montana that offered a bounty of $5,000 for every wolf captured, not dead, but alive. There were two hunters named Sam and Jed, and they decided to head for the hills and make some money capturing wolves. Day and night, they scoured the mountains and forests searching for their elusive prey. Exhausted after 3 days of hunting without success, that evening they both fell asleep around their campfire. At some point during the night, Sam was awakened by a noise only to find that he and Jed were surrounded by a pack of at least 30 wolves with flaming red eyes and bare teeth. That would be a frightening situation. But Sam nudged Jed to wake him up, and Jed says, well, what's the matter? And Sam responded, we're going to be rich. I don't know if I would have been so positive in that situation. But as prey, a wolf or a pack of wolves is the last thing I think you would want pursuing you. Going back to some of those things that we talked about, how they have terrific endurance. They've been known to run all night, hours and hours, miles and miles, till their prey drops with exhaustion. You see, a wolf doesn't give up, and they pursue their prey until it's completely done in. They work well as a team. They'll team to corral or corner their prey so that they have no way of escape. And brethren, just as the wolf, Satan is relentless in his pursuit of us as members of the flock of Jesus Christ. The wolf will never give up the chase, and neither will Satan. The point is that we as Christians can never let up. We can never get up. We can never let our guard down. If we do, it could be the last time. There was a Cherokee elder who, through a story, was teaching his grandchildren about life. Now, forgive me if I'm going to try to imitate what this elder might have sounded like, but he said to them, "A terrible fight is going on inside of me. It's a fight between two wolves. One wolf represents fear, anger, envy, sorrow, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, false pride, and lies. The other stands for joy, peace, hope, love, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. This same fight is going on inside of each and every one of you." They thought about it for a minute, and then one of them asked, "Which one will win, Grandfather?" The old man simply replied, "The one you feed." So I think those are some very wise words from an elder and grandfather to his grandchildren. To not feed the wolf that's full of fear and envy and strife, but rather the one that is full of love and joy and peace and humility. Brethren, we're warned in Matthew 24, verse 11, that false prophets will increase in the last days. Are we in the last days? Is there or has there been an increase in false prophets? Look at the world around you. Look at the teachers on and evangelists on TV, on YouTube, or whatever. We know there are lots of them in the world. But is it possible these wolves in sheep's clothing, these false prophets, have put together a pack with intent to destroy each and every one of us? Have these wolves in sheep's clothing infiltrated the body of Christ, the very flock of Jesus Christ? You know, if you think about it, of all the places, wouldn't you think Satan would put great emphasis to have these wolves in sheep's clothing in God's church? He wants to destroy the body of Christ. He doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to become sons of God. He wants to destroy us. He not only wants to destroy mankind in general, but specifically the church of God. These wolves, these false prophets, will definitely come in the form of wolves in sheep's clothing. Brethren, please be warned, we must be watching. We must be keenly alert for these wolves. When I talk about watching, I don't necessarily mean about watching prophecy or whatever, but we have to be watching for these wolves that come in among us in sheep's clothing. Their goal is to destroy or counterfeit as much as possible the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're out to destroy everything you're trying to do as a Christian, to prevent you from overcoming, from growing and drawing closer to God. Remember our church mission statement? To prepare a people and make disciples of all nations. These wolves, these false prophets, are out to hinder or prevent that in any way they can. They don't want us to succeed in preaching the gospel to the world. They want to destroy or distort the gospel in any way they can. They'll first attack us on an individual basis in an attempt to eventually destroy the masses. Again, don't you think of all places to hide these wolves, they would do so in the very church that Christ built? Let's look now at Titus. Titus 1. Thank you, Mr. McQuinn. Cute hug. Anyway, Titus verse 9, Paul here is speaking to Titus, one of his close friends in the faith. And in verse 4, Paul says, Titus is truly my son in the affairs of the Lord. He discusses the qualifications of a bishop. And in verse 9, he states he must be faithful to God's word. In verse 9 says, holding fast. You know, this adjective means to be firmly fastened, to be loyal and devoted. We need to make sure, brethren, that we are firmly fastened, that we are devoted and loyal to the work of God. The faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, especially those of circumcision. The Moffat translation reads that verse this way, for there are plenty of insubordinate creatures who impose on people with their empty arguments, particularly those who have come over from Judaism. I want to read this text verse from the Amplified Bible, verse 11. Their mouths must be stopped, for they are mentally distressing and subverting, which means to overthrow or to corrupt. They're distressing whole families by teaching what they ought not to teach, for the purpose of gaining base advantage and disreputable gain. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. That's another name for, that's a unusual term, but slow bellies means gluttony. Cretan refers to those who from the island of Crete, and it appears they had a problem with habitual lying. So Paul had spent quite some time preaching there, and he was leaving Titus behind to straighten out things and to ordain elders in every city. That's in verse 3. In verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore, or because it is true, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. So here Paul is warning his good friend Titus about some who have come from Judaism that might cause problems. He says, if need be, deal with them sternly and severely if needed. Don't tolerate it. If you tolerate it, it's going to fester and affect the whole congregation. Don't allow it to exist in any shape or form, he's telling him. So false prophets or teachers were a problem back then, and they can and are a problem today. Brethren, let me emphasize, there is a lot at stake here. There are lives at stake here. There is our being born in the family of God at stake. Don't let anything man says or does take your crown. We can't afford to turn our heads when we have identified false teaching. You know, it's not enough to just stop listening. It's not enough to just walk away. It's not enough to do, we must work or do what we can to stop it. We can't just ignore it. We must do what we can to remove it. If we hear legitimate false teaching, we have a responsibility to pass it on to our shepherd, here locally, our pastor. Don't just ignore it, because that will cause many problems down the line. If we simply ignore it, we may be causing some to fall victim to these wolves in sheep's clothing. Do you want that on your head? I certainly don't. Please turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Here we find Jesus is preparing to send out his disciples, and he tells them in verse 16 of chapter 10 of Matthew, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That's some great advice for us. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before the governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." Verse 19. "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you." God's Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us. "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child." And that's some horrible thoughts, to know that a brother will deliver up a brother to death, and a father a child, shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Children rising up against parents and causing them to be put to death. "And you shall be hated of all men." You know, this is Paul as he's telling his disciples. Imagine being told this as you're getting ready to go out to preach the gospel, and you're being told all this stuff. It's pretty scary. "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." And that's the most important part of those verses. Endure to the end, and we shall be saved. You know, for 3 years, give or take, these men had been with Jesus, learning and listening to him teach. He's now sending them out on their own, and he's telling them to watch out for wolf-like men, spiritual werewolves, if you will. Let's continue on now by looking at John 10. John 10. John 10, here Jesus says that he is the true shepherd of his flock. In verse 11, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, John 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his life for the sheep." You know, and you know, we already know that Christ has already done that. He's laid down his life. And a shepherd tending a flock at night, they will lay down their life to protect the flock. "But the hired servant," the hireling, but the one that works for nothing but wages, "who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, deserts the flock and runs away. And the wolf chases and snatches them and scatters the flock. Now the hireling flees because he merely serves for wages and is not himself concerned about the sheep. These wolves are instruments of their leader, Satan, the devil. They may not realize that they may be deceived themselves, but nonetheless, they are doing the bidding and the work of Satan. Satan, who seeks to have the flock scattered, to separate the flock from the shepherd. We as sheep are safe if we remain close to the shepherd. If we continue to draw ever closer to God and Jesus Christ, if we stay close to them, it's when we allow ourselves to be separated, to stray off and away from the flock, to be alone, to be on our own, that's when we fall victim to Satan, these wolves in sheep's clothing. We're in grave danger if we allow that to happen. Turn with me to see what Paul had to say to the church at Ephesus. We'll turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, and we'll read verses 28 through 31. Keep in mind, the Apostle Paul had stayed in Ephesus for 3 years teaching the true doctrines of truth. He then is compelled to travel to Jerusalem because he has to answer accusation that he was teaching against the law of God. Go figure. He leaves his final admonition to the church here in verse 28 of Acts 20. Take heed, therefore. In other words, pay attention, be aware, be alert, be on the ball. Stay close to God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. We should be looking out for one another. We're not in this for just ourselves. We're in this for one another. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Here, Jesus is very concerned about it. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw you away, to draw away disciples after them. There are people come in to try to draw you away, to separate you from the body of Christ, maybe to get them to join their group, to join their flock. That's wolves in sheep's clothing. Verse 31, therefore, because of what we just talked about, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. In other words, he warned them night and day. He pleaded with them till he was in tears, begging them to watch, to take heed to what could happen to them. So what did happen to the church at Ephesus after Paul left? Did they heed the warnings enough to avoid being overtaken by these savage wolves? Unfortunately, years later, Paul's teaching again became a real problem in the church at Ephesus. In Revelation 2, Jesus Christ also, or again, gave a warning to Ephesus. This letter from Christ through John was actually sent to Ephesus about 30 years after Paul commissioned Timothy to correct what was going on. These savage wolves that had infiltrated the church at Ephesus, that had succeeded in separating the flock from the true shepherd, they did it through deception and false teachings. And brethren, that's what can happen to us if we allow it. We can be separated from the flock if we heed deception and false teachings. It can happen to each and every one of us. Don't think that you're immune to it. So they had crept in unnoticed by the flock, and the flock had not heeded Paul's admonition to be on guard for themselves and for all the flock. That's why we have to be on guard for one another. We have to be watching and paying attention. We have to be awake. We can't fall asleep at the wheel. We can't allow ourselves to be out on the outer fringes of the flock. So for the rest of the sermon, I want to concentrate on what we can do to spot this false prophet, aka the wolf in sheep's clothing. And then finally, we'll finish with a few quick reminders from God's Word. Hopefully these points will help to make sure that we don't become a victim of these individuals in sheep's clothing. So what are some character traits of the wolf in sheep's clothing that we might be able to find him or her out? And yes, I said him or her. It doesn't matter. Remember, it doesn't matter, doesn't pay attention to gender, age, or whatever. Because, brethren, if we don't know how to recognize them, if we don't know how to see a false prophet when we see it, then we'll certainly be devoured by that false prophet. Our spiritual potential will be cut short and literally stripped from us. Well, the first way we might recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing is, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. Let's turn back, if you will, to where we started in the beginning, to Matthew 7. We'll read a different verse, but in Matthew 7 and verse 16. Matthew 7, verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? The Living Bible reads it this way: you can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You never need to confuse grapevines with thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Skip down to verse 20. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is a kind of fruit that it produces. So if you see apples hanging on a tree, you don't think that's an orange tree. Or if you see oranges hanging on a tree, you don't think that's an apple tree. No, you know that it's an apple tree because of the fruit that it's producing. By the fruit of a tree, you know what type of tree it is. We won't be able to confuse it. And we'll be able to know what type of character a person has by the fruit that they produce. Well, it goes on to talk about those that plead, you know, we did this, we did that, and he will tell them he never knew them, so get thee hence. Get away from me, he says. Go, I don't know you, and you know what? I never really did. Do you want him to say that to you? I know that I don't. However, down in verse 24, we see some positive reinforcements from Jesus. Verse 24, therefore, in other words, to bring this discussion to a close, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, not just hears them, but does them, who puts them into practice in everyday life of their Christian journey, I will liken him to a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. Jesus was exhorting the disciples, and he is also exhorting us today, that as we hear and learn, we need to put that knowledge into practice. You know, what we hear on the Sabbath, what we hear in Bible studies, you know, apply it to your life. We heard that in the opening prayer. We were admonished, we were praying for God to help us to apply these things in our everyday life. Does not do any good for us if we hear things here and on the Sabbath and we don't apply them to our life. What good? It doesn't foster any fruit production. We must spend time in God's Word to be able to detect what is real and what is fake. The second thing is, wolves have a problem with authority. False teachers, false prophets have a problem with authority. Real prophets or sincere members are not rebellious type people. They understand and appreciate the purpose of authority. Jesus Christ understood this and set the proper example for us, as he often said that he answers to the Father. He can do nothing except the Father draws you. You know, everything is done through God. The false prophets will say they have no problem with authority, but all we have to do is watch them. Watch their actions and their motive and their attitude will be revealed. If they have a problem with authority, it will definitely come to full view. Number three, false teachers don't respond well to criticism or correction. False teachers don't respond well to criticism or correction. You know, when you confront a wolf in sheep's clothing, the response most of the time will not be one of humility and repentance. The person will usually respond with anger, bitterness, and often will try to turn the criticism back on you. They go into a self-preservation mode and are bent on fulfilling their mission. They will appear meek and humble in front of an audience, but will show aggression when confronted. Sooner or later, these wolves in sheep's clothing will bare their teeth and show who they really are. Number four, they use emotions to get what they want. They use emotions to get what they want. Wolves in sheep's clothing know the power of words and emotions to manipulate people. They might use guilt, shame, and fear to keep others under their power. They know when to speak sweet words or use compliments, and when to use cutting words to fuel controversy and insecurity in people. We have to be able to observe that and discern that, whatever is being said. Number five, they love power and they love themselves. They love power. I know we all love ourselves, but they love power. This person will try to gain and hold on to power for their own selfish reasons. Relationships are used and abused solely for the purpose of gaining more control. A wolf in sheep's clothing will use their position to create rules and boundaries that were never a part of God's word. In other words, they'll try to maybe add to God's word or take away in order to create boundaries. They don't want to empower people with freedom and truth, but rather keep them under his power, under their power and boundaries. Now some quick helpful points before we conclude. How to respond to wolves in sheep's clothing, false teachers, false prophets. Again, I've talked about it already, is watch and be alert. Watch, brethren, and be alert. God reminds us in his word to watch out and to stay awake. He knows and understands how difficult it can be at times to fight this spiritual battle that we're fighting each and every day of our life, because Satan is after us. He wants to devour us, to separate us from God. In this day and time, it would be easy to become weary in well-doing and to give up. Like the prey of the wolf, you run this race so long and so arduous, and then at some point, you just, I can't go on, I give up. But brethren, we can't do that. We can't give up the race. We have to stay in the race. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch you, stand fast in the faith, quiet you like men, be strong. The Amplified Version reads this way, be alert and on guard. What I've been saying all along, brethren, we have to be alert and on guard. Stand firm in your faith. Know where you stand in God's faith. Know what the Bible says. Study to show yourself approved to God. Act like men and be courageous and grow in strength. And the way we do that is we become more solid in the foundation of God's word. That's how we become spiritually stronger. Brethren, God desires the best for us and knows how important it is to be aware and alert to what's happening around us. He freely gives us his strength and his promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. He'll never leave us defenseless. Next point is trust the discernment and wisdom of God's Holy Spirit. Trust the discernment and wisdom of God's Holy Spirit. God gives us his spirit to guide us in discernment and wisdom. You know, where would we be without God's Holy Spirit guiding us, giving us wisdom, giving us discernment? We would be lost. We would be in the dark. In John 16, verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you unto all truth. And that's so true, brethren. God's Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Why is wisdom and discernment so important for us? Please turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 25. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. These people will be able to do great signs and wonders, but we have to know them for who they truly are. It says, if it was much, so inasmuch possible, they would deceive the very elect. That's you, brethren. They will deceive us if we aren't sharp, if we aren't praying and studying and know God's word for what it says. In verse 25, behold, I have told you before. He tells us, I have told you ahead of time so that we will be prepared. We will be watching. We have to be. You know, we have the luxury of walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We don't have to wander blindly through life. We have God's Holy Spirit lighting our path for us. But we need to beseech God daily for His Spirit, His wisdom, and His discernment to deal with the problems and situations that confront us on a daily basis. You know, dealing with the trials and the hardships of this world, we need to pray that God will give us more wisdom and discernment to know how to deal with everything that we're confronted with. Next, study and educate ourselves in God's word. And brethren, I can't stress that enough. That goes back to everything that we've been talking about, that we have to know God's word. We have to delve into it and learn and know what God's word says. You know, sometimes these wolves in sheep's clothing are pretty smart themselves. They know God's word. They might be able to use it against you if you don't know what God's word truly says. Sometimes deception can be hidden well, manipulated, and cunning. Remember, Satan disguises himself as a light. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15. We'll read what it says there about Satan. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And it's no wonder that Satan himself masquerades. In other words, he's pretending to be something that he's not, of course. But he masquerades as an angel of light. But actually, he is the angel of darkness. Verse 15, so it is not surprising if his servants, his agents, his demons, also masquerade as ministers of righteousness. But their end will correspond with their deeds. Brethren, these demons, these false teachers that Satan is using against us will appear as angels of light. If we don't know the truth, if we don't know our Bible, if we don't know doctrine, if we don't know and have a thorough understanding of theology and what God's word said, we'll be deceived. We'll fall victim to these wolves in sheep's clothing. And we might never know when we are deceived until it's too late. And brethren, if that's the case, if we are biblically illiterate, hopefully that's not the case. You better believe wolves in sheep's clothing will be coming after you because they consider you weak. are on the fringe. We have to be biblically literate in God's word. We must draw ever closer to God. Pray to him, talk to him, listen to his voice as he speaks to us through his word. We have to listen, we have to study that. And he speaks to us through his word. Knowing him, knowing his word, knowing his truth will help us deal with that wolf in sheep's clothing as we stare it directly in the face. And don't be scared, because we have God's Holy Spirit backing us up. Wolves have an awesome or frightening stare, and they might be baring their teeth, but don't you dare back up. Don't give up. Don't back up an inch. My last point is mentioned in Proverbs 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there is no wise guidance, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, we all have read that scripture before. But brethren, we need to surround yourself with believers you know and trust. Believers who know the truth of God. Use caution in who you listen to and take guidance from. Be careful who you allow to teach you or to correct you or to steer you in a certain direction. Make sure you truly know that person. Make sure you truly know who they are. You know, sometimes we need others to speak the truth for us. If we find ourselves in a situation where we might not be able to handle it, but that's why we need to be close to one another and be able to speak up for someone if they're having difficulties. Learn to listen to one another and take into consideration what is being said, and if need be, take action to inform the other person. You know, sometimes we disagree about things, but if it's not a doctrinal issue, you know, or if it is a doctrinal issue, we'll have to be dealt with to some degree. But sometimes we disagree with one another about things. We don't all agree on the same thing. But the important thing is we keep the right attitude and we behave as a brother and sister in Christ. Don't waste time fighting with one another. Stand strong together on the Christ, the rock. Please know that in the last days, scoffers will come walking after their own lusts. Stay away from these kind of people, brethren. Stay away from false prophets. Stay away from wolves in sheep's clothing. But brethren, I think we've seen today evidence that wolves in sheep's clothing are and will be in the flock of God. The scriptures we've read today prove there were false prophets in Christ's day, and they are with us today. We have to be alert. We have to be on the lookout for these agents of Satan. They're out there. You never know where they are. We must be on guard for ourselves and for the entire flock. We each share our responsibility to some degree as shepherds of the flock of Jesus Christ. If you hear something out of order, don't just turn away. Don't just walk away. We can't let something get started and have it mushroom into something terrible and destructive. We have to watch as a shepherd watches and protects the sheep. In closing, let's read Luke 12:32. I think some very encouraging words to close with. Luke 12, verse 32.